Hello and welcome to Missing Mystic Falls, the podcast where we cast a critical eye over each episode of The Vampire Diaries. Today, we're discussing The Sun Also Rises, which is all about the big event, the sacrifice, where Klaus won't let anything get in the way of his plan to break the curse. As new information comes to light that puts people they love in danger, the Salvators and co. race against time to do anything they can to save them. Today, I'm joined by my co-host, Catherine.
Hi.
And then there's me.
Yes. We said we were going to address this at the top because a couple of people have asked where Ellie is. And in fairness, it is like she disappeared. I know Dilly Elena on Instagram asked. And we had another email that mentioned it as well. Ellie has not left the podcast.
She will return.
Yeah, she's not allowed to leave. That is simply not an option. Ellie's doing a bit of traveling at the moment, so cannot make some of the episodes we are recording. She will be back.
But for now, you are left with the pair of us.
The two of us.
I'm sorry for this, but it's the best we can do.
Yes, for now. But she's definitely coming back. She did just disappear. But yeah, as Alice said, today we are talking about season 2, episode 21, The Sun Also Rises, which originally aired on the 5th of May, 2011. The episode was written by Caroline Dries and Mike Daniels and directed by Paul N. Summers. And this episode marks the very first time that Paul directed an episode for the show, but he was actually the director of photography for all the previous episodes of Vampire Diaries.
Director of photography?
Like the cinematographer.
Wait, Paul's in...
No, not Paul Wesley. Paul M. Summers.
Sorry.
My mate
missed
Paul.
That.
He was the director.
That makes significantly more sense.
For all prior 42 episodes of the show. <For sake.
laughs> I get my head screwed on.
You can see his name on one of the gravestones as Damon leaves the cemetery, which we'll get on to.
That's some cool placement.
But yeah, they have acknowledged him.
I'm glad to hear it.
So it's happened.
It's happened.
I actually think I need to warn people. As I've told Alice many times today, I feel very emotionally fragile today. I don't know what it is. I watched this episode and I cried so, so much. Like, not a delicate number of tits. Oh my God, Alice. Not a delicate number of tears. Stop.
Sorry.
We have two very full margaritas. Alice just did the most dangerous sip of them.
Well, Catherine's already making me giggle.
She's giggling at me baring my soul.
Yes.
And just saying that I'm quite delicate right now, so we will have to be gentle with me.
I'll stop laughing at you.
What did you think of this episode?
I mean, I loved it. I think it's a great episode.
It's a two-parter, right? This is the second part of the last episode.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I mean, the way that even starts, it sort of is right in from the last one. It's definitely a two-parter. And I think the two of them together just have to be right up there.
Yeah.
What do you think?
I think it was good. I think the decision that where they chose to cut the last episode actually was the wrong one.
Yeah.
Because... on one hand, it makes sense. Like, everything is a cliffhanger. Like, the Jenna cliffhanger, if she's transforming. What's the word?
Transitioning.
There we go. I was like, that's not what they say. She's not a car. She's transitioning. That was a really good cliffhanger. The, like, Damon's been bitten was a really good cliffhanger. And, like, technically the Caroline and Matt one was, but it felt really weird starting this episode with, like, a 30-second clip of Caroline and Matt fighting a werewolf and then dealing with it fine and moving on straight away. So I just think they didn't cut it
They should have brought it back at the sacrifice, I think they should have maybe almost covered off Tyrone and Caroline a little bit and then brought it right back to where, you know, Jenna and Elena were.
I also kind of feel like every time they went to the Caroline, Matt, Tyler plot, it really took the steam out of the episode.
Definitely. Especially because, yes, okay, they're dealing with a few threats, but it's a lot more like about relationships and, you know, it's not really the same sort of life or death. You know, you're not on the edge of your seat. It's not the emotional...
I just think they could have resolved it last episode, Tyler immediately going to kill them. Not have them in this episode at all, just be like they're staying out of the way, as many characters are.
Yeah.
And then they've still got one episode of the season left to deal with the relationship stuff. That was my only critique about this episode.
I would agree with that. I think it takes away a bit. I think the episodes are, like, the sacrifice element I thought was done really, really well. I also think they could have brought, you know, they could have had some of the Matt, Tyler, Caroline stuff at the end, but it does still feel like it would take away, actually, right?
Because there's one bit at the end we will get onto that was ridiculous. Like, I
think I know what you mean.
I couldn't deal with it. I was like, I can't cope with this. I'm too emotional right now. So I just felt like it really wasn't needed at all in this episode. And I know it's like, well, would they not be getting involved in the action if we don't write them something? I would say no, because many people aren't involved in the action.
I also think they could retroact, like, you know, if there were worries about, if that was the concern, in the next episode they could have sort of recapped a bit of what happened there, because mm-hmm. they could have said, well, so, you know, they could have almost done little flashbacks of what happened, you know. Yeah, there's lots of ways they could have done it.
It just wasn't needed for, but other than that, I really liked the episode. Yeah, like it was just the sacrifice. It was just like, so many things were happening at the same time, lots of great scenes, lots of great interactions with characters, and then
definitely
and what weighty deaths.
Oh, it is a heart-wrenching episode. And what's funny, actually, I know you talked about, we talked about the Caroline and Matt situation. When you asked me about the episode, I kind of forgot it was in there.
Yeah, it's not needed.
Yeah,
but hey, yeah, so that's the start of the episode, as we've talked about, is Matt, I will say, Matt shoots Tyler.
Mate, can we just cover off this little
sorry guys, we're gonna start with the boring stuff.
Okay, he shoots Tyler and doesn't give a flying
fuck. Yeah. He just doesn't care.
And even later, when Tyler's transformed back and Caroline's being very protective, obviously, as you would of your friend, but even when Tyler's transformed back and he's literally lying in a huddle, Matt's still got the gun just aimed at him. And I'm like, Matt,
Matt's
pipe,
like,
down.
He literally asks, in the voice with no emotion, like he does not care that he shot his best friend, is he dead?
Yeah, did
he die?
I didn't kill him, right?
I didn't kill him. Crazy.
Dear God.
Crazy.
It drives me up the wall. I really...
Did you not dislike Matt in this? I thought it was weird that he didn't care about Tyler. I you know, I'm not a big Matt fan, but I couldn't even find the energy to get annoyed at him in this episode.
I was a bit annoyed. Like, he did some things that kind of make sense. I just thought he was appalling about Tyler. And I get he's scared, and I get it's terrifying, but he just doesn't seem to care about his friend.
Mm-hmm. You think this bit is meant to be like Caroline and Matt have like a heart-to-heart while action's happening? I think that's kind of what they're going for. You know, like, this is a really random reference. You know, like in the third Pirates of the Caribbean movie?
That's going to take my brain.
Well, Elizabeth Swann and Will Turner, Orlando Bloom and Keira Knightley, they get married in the middle of an action scene. And I think that's what they were going for, like an emotional confrontation, but they don't intersperse it with any kind of action. It's just like an ominous, like a threat that Tyler's outside.
I also didn't think they do the heart-to-heart. Just doesn't feel
none of it's
deep.
Good.
And maybe in some ways it doesn't need to be deep, because at this point, although they're both sad about it, really you don't feel invested in their relationship at all at this point. So maybe it's like, and the heart-to-heart just isn't that deep. I don't think that's what they were going for.
No, we're meant to be invested in Caroline and Matt.
Yeah.
And we are not.
No.
But Caroline does learn that not only has Matt known for weeks that she's a vampire, but also her mum has known. And again, that would be interesting in a different episode, but it's just not really needed. I think the actress Candice that plays Caroline, she always does really well when she wants to appear like vulnerable and young. She goes into this like really little voice, and when she says like, do you think my mum wants to kill me, she again sounds very young and very vulnerable, and she does definitely. This like several times in the season,
definitely. But that all ends up with Matt saying he can't handle the vampire stuff, but it seems like he's accepted it but doesn't want to be a part of it. And then
I think that's fair, though.
I think that I'm not angry with Matt for that. I do think I understand that.
I also think that's a good and different reaction to finding out, or it actually is kind of similar to Elena's initial reaction, because when she found out Stefan was a vampire, she was like, I can't date you. So I think it's kind of similar. And I think it was like finding, accepting Caroline for who she is, and even saying like, oh, look, we've had an amazing few weeks. The weeks he's known she's been a vampire is what he has enjoyed. But him, again, referencing real things that he has going on in his life. He's a breadwinner. he has to pay a mortgage.
Oh, Matt.
Which feels like there should be some kind of like community support.
Yeah.
Everyone else is so rich. Why is Matt so poor?
Yeah, it does feel like no one ever even offers to help or in any way.
No. Or even like, could he not live with a friend
and
pay them rent, which a very reduced rent? Because I feel like he wouldn't like live free. He'd be upset by that.
Yeah.
But so he doesn't have to like, I don't know, take so many hours at the grill.
Yeah, this is I don't think it feels like he's a man who wouldn't want a free pass, but this doesn't feel like the most sustainable way.
No. Is there anything else that happens with them? It's so pointless, the whole thing.
Yeah. I think the last thing is like, and I think this is almost one of the worst place bits, is Caroline and Tyler have kind of quite a sweet but light-hearted moment.
It's right after I was sobbing.
Yeah, it was not the time or the place. Like, it actually would have been a really nice scene otherwise. Mm-hmm. Like, there were a few nice bits in that scene. Just not then.
And also, right, so Tyler's naked under a blanket. Fine. Caroline gets under the blanket.
Oh, yeah.
She's under the blanket and then cuddles up to him, which is fine. I just thought it was really bizarre. But yeah, it's a nice little vulnerable moment. She asks him to stay and not to leave and not to go leave town again, because obviously Tyler's going to be in season 3, so they do not want that character to leave town. But I just don't think it's needed, because you can just be like, Tyler chose to stay. I just don't think we needed this whole kind of, and it kind of breaks the action flow throughout the episode.
And it just almost takes, like, I feel like moment before was such an emotional moment, but you have to, as the audience, get over it really quickly for this. Mm-hmm. You have to be then like, oh, okay, guess we're here now.
And I like cracking jokes.
Yeah.
Anyway, enough about that. we've derailed our podcast long enough. Let's talk about the good stuff. Damon and Catherine have found out about the werewolf bite. I really like, not them as a couple, but their interactions.
I think they've got great chemistry, mm-hmm. and it's a really like, I think you can actually tell they still care for each other in an antagonistic way.
Catherine is sad that he is dying. Like, she is not, like, sobbing about it, but you can tell she's upset that he's dying.
Yeah.
She doesn't want it to be that case. Because Damon's annoyed at her because she's the one that lured Jenna outside. And, you know, Catherine repeats her message of, it was her or me, I chose me. And that's where she's been this whole season. And she also tells them, don't let love get in your own way. And I do think Catherine's actually had a little bit of like an arc this season that maybe we'll go more into in the next episode. Season 1, we only ever saw Catherine through Damon and Stefan's eyes. We didn't really know anything about her backstory. All we knew, she was like this crazy seductress who like ruined their lives. This season, we've really got to like understand her and like the choices that she's made. And she comes back to, with Catherine always, can she like choose love and can she actually commit to that, or is she always just going to prioritize herself?
And I think what's interesting is you do see here, it's always in these sort of life or death decisions that she, like, I think through, and as you said, kind of with the arc, a lot of what you're seeing in the later seasons of Catherine is, yes, she's doing bad things. And I'm not saying the end justifies the means, but she's doing them because she feels that she has to, not because she's just out to cause chaos, which was a lot more her in season 1.
Yeah. Or at the start of season 2, when we had just like met her properly for the first time.
Gosh, in my head, that was season 1. Gosh, that was only early season 2.
No, it was season 2.
This moves at a rocket pace.
Yeah. Season 2 starts, remember, the first like 10 episodes, maybe like 8 episodes are like Catherine, then it's like Elijah, then it's the werewolves, then it's Klaus. So that's all within.
Season 2.
Season 2, yeah. They always have like multiple antagonists each season, I think. That might be wrong. I think that's true.
I think it's probably true.
Yeah. Yeah, because Dame, well, yeah.
It was Damon, then it was Catherine.
Yeah.
Then it was Catherine, then it was...
It was Damon, then it was the two vampires.
Oh, yeah. And then right at the end, it was Catherine. Yeah. Then Catherine, then... But for a bit Elijah, I guess, in some ways, before we knew all about Klaus. Yeah.
We've had a lot happen. A lot happen. Most of this season has been leading up to the sacrifice, which is now happening.
It's happening. I think... And this is kind of... Actually, maybe I'll come to this at the end.
Okay. Sizzle.
Well, it's a bit of an overview of the episode.
Okay, we'll come on.
And I feel like I should not say it now.
We'll come on to it. Yeah, because Jenna's waking up and Elena's having to explain what's happening to her. And I think what makes so much of this episode so heartbreaking and actually makes the work a lot harder for the actors, and I think they all did brilliantly, is they separate out Elena and Jenna specifically. They put them in these little fire circles so they can't get out, which means like Elena cannot like console Jenna physically. So she just has to keep like talking to her, giving her information. And it is just really, really heartbreaking to see.
It is. And you kind of see Jenna just, you kind of almost are with her as she realizes. You can see it in her face, every kind of new thing she's realizing and thought she's having.
Well, she fully transitions because she had only just woken up from being killed. So she has to feed, and Greta like cuts herself and Jenna feeds on Greta's blood, completing the transformation. So she is a vampire. There is no going back. It is done. And then they discuss, you know, what it means to be a vampire and that she feels more things. And there's a really, really sad moment where Jenna's just like, I'm going to die. And she just sounds so, so scared. And she's just so helpless in that moment.
Definitely. And she seems so much younger in this moment as well. And I think one thing we often forget throughout the series is she's doing her PhD, which makes her, and I can't remember if she says it at any point, but she's mid-late 20s.
We've looked at this before. She's like 25, I swear. Yeah. I swear we've looked at this.
She's had so much on her shoulders, and here you kind of, she feels young, she feels scared and helpless, and it's so sad. And I think also that kind of talk that she has with Elena, and she's kind of thinking, oh, this is my life, I've looked after Jeremy and Elena, and feels that she's let them down. And that's kind of, it's such a sad moment where both Jenna and Elena feel like they've let each other down.
It's really good acting from both of them. Nina in particular, I think does an amazing job. And it starts, you think it's going to be like almost a sweet moment of reflection when she talks about maybe like I wouldn't have volunteered to look after you, and like that would have been her greatest regret. And then she says, she didn't say she let her down, she said, I failed you. Like, I failed you as a parent because look at where we are. And no, Jenna, you did not.
Jenna didn't.
They gave you no information.
How else would she have known?
They gave her no information. She couldn't work it out. Like, it was not, this is not, it's also not Elena's fault, but it is not Jenna's fault. She's just, in this episode in particular, she's just such a tragic figure.
And I think kind of throughout her whole, do we want to talk about all of Jenna, or do we want
to? Oh, I think we have to move back and forth, don't you not think?
Yeah.
Is that upsetting to you?
No.
We can go wherever you want.
Sorry, I'm just thinking. It's okay, we can go back and forth. So kind of whilst they're preparing for the sacrifice, you get Bonnie and Jeremy are kind of looking up to see, is there anything they can do?
They're far too chipper.
They are far too chipper. They're making jokes about like someone fancies someone, or I can't remember, Jonathan Gilbert had a thing for somebody.
They're flirting, Emily Bennett. No, they're flirt. Right, so many things to talk about here. First of all, far too upbeat when they know a sacrifice is happening. Yeah, you don't think it's his aunt or anyone you know, but you know people are being murdered currently. Lower the tone a little bit, guys. Secondly, their flirting technique is to be like, your ancestor used to fancy my ancestor.
That's sexy. That's not sexy.
So that's not true.
No.
That has never been a thing.
No, because Jonathan Gilbert fancied Pearl.
But they said Emily had a thing for Jonathan Gilbert, and we never saw those two characters interact. They've like added this in to be, because it's so sexy.
When their friends are getting murdered. Also, throughout this, I just feel like they're leaving it a little bit close to the wire. I get that they're like looking for a way to save Elena, but they don't feel like they're ready to up and go. They're like they look like they're kind of curled up on the sofa vibe. I know it's not a sofa, I think they're on the floor, but
they're very relaxed.
Yeah, I just, if I had a task to do that evening involved in the sacrifice that has already started, I think I'd be like ready to go. I might be like manically looking through a few pages.
Bonnie
to find
has
something.
Lines to memorize.
Yeah.
But no, they're like, oh, maybe, because what they're doing, which I guess is useful, is looking for a spell so Elena doesn't have to
become a vampire.
Which, like, maybe Damon should have dedicated some hours to.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't think it's... thing is, like, Damon's plan technically fucked up last episode because Jenna got taken as a cause of it. But had everyone known that the vampire and the werewolf that Klaus was planning to sacrifice was Caroline and Tyler, I do think everyone would be like, let's go rescue them.
I actually don't think... I don't think last episode Damon fucked up. I think he absolutely the episode before.
No, last episode is where he...
Episode before, I think. End of the episode before. Last episode, I think he just...
Last episode he built Elena. And it was the last day.
Oh, it was the beginning of the episode. Yeah, I don't know why in my head it was the end of the episode. And I was like, that can't be last episode. Yes. After that, I don't think his next plan actually was a fuck up. Because it's, you know... As you said, they would have wanted to save Tyler and Caroline.
Imagine Elena got volunteered to the sacrifice and then Caroline and Tyler were there.
Yeah.
That would have been horrific, because if they'd just done their plan of Bonnie lives, Klaus dies, Elena lives, Caroline and Tyler would... Because the order, they're very clear on the order. It has to be some bullshit with the Moonstone. Ridiculous. The Moonstone means nothing. The Moonstone is a fake thing they invented at the first half of a series, a MacGuffin, to get our attention, and now we have to pretend it has any point to it. It has no point in the sacrifice. But anyway, there's some bullshit with the Moonstone. They have to kill the werewolf, they have to kill the vampire, Klaus has to kill the doppelganger, and then we kill Klaus. Yeah. Very clear order. So for that to happen, Tyler and Caroline would have had to die.
I also still think, and one, I know we talked about it last episode, how the others all seemed okay if two randoms died versus
Elena.
But did they not use their brains and think, you know, who is likely to be the vampire sacrificed? Who is likely to be the werewolf sacrificed?
I feel like vampires are a dime a dozen. The vampire, as Jenna proved, the vampire could be anyone.
Yeah.
What they really should have paid attention to, and I get that, they only knew one werewolf that they cared about, don't care about Jules, is Tyler was out of town. What they actually should have paid attention to, knowing the sacrifice is going to happen that night, is the day before Carol Lockwood falling down a flight of stairs.
Yeah.
And they did know about it because Caroline went to go visit her in the hospital. So these dumbos didn't go, maybe he's the werewolf, because werewolves are really rare and we know that.
They did not use their brains here.
I guess a lot has been going on.
I know, but it feels like everything they've been trying to do is to try and save people. They're just...
I do feel like sometimes they let our characters work things out that don't seem that obvious. And then sometimes really obvious things happen and they act like they have blinders to it. Maybe people are like that.
I wouldn't put it past.
I don't know. But yeah, Damon has to tell them that Jenna is the vampire in the sacrifice. And he doesn't tell them that he's been bitten. That is kept a secret. He's like, let's put a pin in that. First things first, Jenna is the vampire in the sacrifice. And then Stefan decides what has to be done is he has to volunteer to swap places. And there's a really good scene between Stefan and Elijah. Well, I actually say it's a good scene. I think I just said it's a good scene because Elijah's in it. I like how it starts.
Yeah.
With that Elijah gives Stefan the biggest compliment that he is capable of giving another person.
Calls him honourable.
He says, you're an honourable man. And this is another fault, I think, with the episode, is I think they too strongly telegraph what's going to happen later on.
Yes. Yeah. Because Elijah here is sort of saying the reason that he wants to kill Klaus is because Klaus killed all of their siblings and dumped their bodies in the sea. So basically has forever lost the siblings from Elijah.
Mm-hmm. But it's not even just that. Like, okay, introducing that bit of interest, there are more originals. Ooh, I love an original. So far, we're 2 for 2 on the originals. Yes, please. But also the whole idea of Stefan literally asks him, you know, can you do it? The second you ask that, maybe the answer is going to be no. I just think it's like too, he's like, if you back out of it, it all fails.
Yeah. I think that makes it quite like, you're like, oh gosh, he's going to back out.
Yeah, I just think it's way too obvious. I just don't think they needed it. I think you could have had one line of like, this plan only works with you. And we as the audience will remember their brothers because everyone loves to call each other brother.
Or even if it wasn't the, even if Stefan hadn't asked the question, Eliza Rich even just said, or maybe said in the last episode, the reason why he wants to kill Klaus. Yeah,
exactly. We could have been, they wanted to introduce these siblings clearly that I hadn't mentioned before. I'm not saying the writers hadn't thought of it before now.
No, you wouldn't. You'd never say that.
I would never say that. But maybe the writers hadn't thought of it. So they had to both introduce them. And it was just a silly bit of writing. But I like Stefan and Elijah talking.
I like the interaction of the characters. I just think some of the stuff they say.
Mm-hmm.
But whilst this is happening, the sacrifice has already started. So you get first Jules being killed.
Do you know what line I strongly object to? Do you know what it is?
Oh, you know what? I'm not sure if I wrote it down.
She says, and look, I feel bad for this woman. She's being murdered. But she says, everything I did was to help Hyla. And I want you to remember when she murdered that group of campers.
That did not help Tyler.
No. Or when she murdered Rose.
Yeah, that didn't help Tyler.
That outraged you more than the group of campers.
No, I forgot that happened. I remember the group of campers, but I forgot that she was the one that killed Rose.
But the audacity on her deathbed to say, I did it all for Tyler. No, you didn't. You were a bad person. And that's fine. But why are you trying to make a, like, death side confession to Elena, who doesn't even know who you are? Because she's like, Jules?
But it's not a deathbed confession. It's a deathbed claw for redemption.
Yeah.
It's a deathbed. I was good, really. I promise. Bye.
And I'm not giving her redemption. She doesn't get it from me.
She didn't deserve to die.
Well, no. Well, look, I don't believe in capital punishment, so no. But I'm not mourning her death.
No.
She murdered so many innocent...
Well, yeah.
I'll tell you how many innocent people she killed. I will tell you. You know, Alice, we have the numbers. She has killed 5 people.
Yeah. That's not a good person. That's a serial killer.
That is it. She's a serial killer. And I meant to be sad and think it was all for Tyler.
No.
Don't.
Not buying it.
No, I will not have it.
But I did feel... her death was still quite... like, it was a graphic death.
Oh, it was. She got a heart grab. I did think it was interesting in the sacrifice visually that Klaus killed all 3 of the women in different ways.
Yeah.
He ripped, so starting with, he ripped out Jules's heart, which is a very brutal death, and she didn't deserve that. I will agree with
and
that.
And also, I just feel they make it quite graphic afterwards as well with each, well, less so with Jenna's, but he then, like, squeezes, you can see him squeezing her heart over the...
Moonstone. It's like there's like a altar and a moonstone.
That was the word I was looking for. Altar.
There's an altar with the moonstone in it, and the altar is then set on fire. Again, I say the moonstone does nothing here. It is not needed. Well, it's needed because they say it's needed.
I actually think one of the kind of most difficult bits to watch about Jules' death as well was Jenna's face. I found it so sad. She looked like that happened in her face of just kind of like, what's about to happen? She just looks aghast and it's, yeah.
Well, she's kind of seeing her future.
Yeah, she's seeing what's about to happen to her. And it's awful.
Jenna. Oh, Jenna. While the sacrifice is also happening, lots of things are happening simultaneously. We're going from A to B to C to D, back to A again. But there's a little knock on the door.
And it is John Gilbert himself.
I can't cope. So the last time we saw him, which makes so much of this episode even more tragic when you think about it, is him and Elena were burying the hatchet. And the reason he's come back to town is he said Elena wasn't answering his calls for the past few days, which implies they're talking. They're like building a relationship, communicating. Like, if she wasn't like, it's unusual for her to not answer his calls.
Yeah.
And he straight away comes back to town.
And he finds out not only... is Lena in the sacrifice? She's going to come back as a vampire. And Jenna's been taken.
Mm-hmm. And we get a real glimpse into Damon's psyche because he's then like, oh, we just kill him before the sacrifice. But then Bonnie dies. But he's fine with that. So the order of...
fine with it. He hasn't thought about it. He goes, no one has to die. He doesn't give a... like, he hasn't even... it's not even in his brain that Bonnie dying is an issue.
Mm-hmm. And he also finds out that Stefan's... volunteering to swap places. So I think we get a really clear list of the hierarchy in Damon's head of who can die. At the bottom of it is Bonnie, then Jenna, then Stefan, then Elena.
Definitely.
And that is how it goes for him. But Bonnie is 100% expendable.
Yeah, I think that's the thing. Like, obviously, in some ways it makes sense because he's closer, like, you know, his brother, he would probably be closer to and care more about than Bonnie. But it's not like, oh, I care about them all so much, but these, like, you know, if I had to save one, it's, I care about these two, I really don't give a damn about these ones.
Remember last week he said, I'll write Bonnie a nice eulogy.
Yeah.
And let me tell you, Damon, if something terrible were to happen to Bonnie, you would not be speaking at her funeral.
No.
You would not be allowed at her funeral.
Given everything you've done.
How dare you? It's actually outrageous.
I do feel another moment, like I just keep feeling really bad for everyone, is when Elena is begging Klaus for Jenna's life. Again, great acting from Nina. Like, and I think Klaus actually seems receptive to it, because she's telling him, you know, I followed all your rules. I didn't run. Jeremy can't be left without a family. And I think Klaus is listening to her. I don't know. I don't know. Did you get the same?
I got the same. I think it's something like, if it wouldn't have mattered to him, he would have done it. Like, if it was neither here nor there for him, I think he might have listened.
I think had there been any other vampire bar Stefan arriving, because put a pin in that, he would have agreed to the switch. Because I do think Helena moved him in that moment. Or it felt that way to me.
Yeah.
But they were instead interrupted by Stefan on top of the cliff, saying quite calmly, I'm here to chat.
Why do you go to the top of the cliff? Drama. Dramatic moment.
I guess he wanted to seem non-threatening. Like, I'm not trying to stop this.
I get that too. But it sounds like vampires can only hear long distances when they pay attention.
Oh, no.
So it's whenever the story yelling, needs. Like, I'm here.
Hello. It's me.
Oh, wait, you can't hear me? I'll come over then.
Yeah, that's fair. Yeah, because, because Elena has to tell Jenna, like, focus in. Let's hear what the boys are saying.
Yeah.
And we get the scene between Klaus and Stefan. And this was a great scene. And I mean this time. I'm not just thinking someone I like is on screen. This was a good scene between them. Like, the music that's playing, it feels really tense. The music that's playing is, like, really fast. It literally feels like a heartbeat.
I think also the fact you kind of almost just get their silhouettes. You don't really, like, because it's dark, but the rest of it's really well lit. You kind of just get this sort of silhouette hush-hush discussion.
Mm-hmm. The sacrifice looks amazing, because you've got these, like, three fires burning, a central one. Like, it's just a very, like, atmospheric, very gothic. And there that you really have a backdrop to this scene. And I also really like Klaus when he's talking about, I kind of like the poetry of the three women, three goddesses sacrificed at the altar. I love that.
I do like the poetry. Obviously don't sacrifice, but
no, but I like,
you know, his thing. Yeah,
I like the connection of women to nature. As I've said to you in the past, I believe women are connected to the moon. I believe we're connected to the moon. We vibe with it in a different way. So if I was to be breaking the curse, I also would look for three goddesses.
Yeah. And he does bring Stefan back down. So I feel like for the audience, there's kind of a brief second of, might this happen? And he kind of offers Elena the choice. And you're like, God, what?
Shocked by what Stefan is offering to switch places.
Yeah.
It's like she couldn't imagine. And not to be funny, I know she's under a lot of stress. Why else would he be there?
Yeah. I also think, kind of, I know she's shocked, and it would be shocking. And not that she should expect it, but she would have done the same thing.
Yeah. That's what I mean. It's like exactly her line of thinking. When has someone's life been in jeopardy and Elena has not offered to die for them? And also, when has Stefan not also done the same thing? Like, they're both quite self-sacrificing people. So I don't know why she's that surprised by it. But she is very, very shocked. And then, as you said, like, it seems like for a moment Klaus is giving her a choice.
Until he then goes and stabs Stefan in the back.
Mm-hmm.
And says he's got plans for him.
Ooh.
What is going to happen?
Who knows what's going on, why he said that. What plans could Klaus have? Could we find out in season 3 of The Vampire Diaries?
No. Of course not.
Yep. And, you know, because he's decided not to kill Stefan is mean that Jenna is next. And Elena had previously told Jenna to run. Said, you know, no matter what, I will be waking up tomorrow. Run. Leave. And when the time comes, Jenna turns to her and goes, I know what I need to do. And turns and attacks Greta the witch, who is casting the spell. Which I love that Jenna chose to fight.
Yeah.
And
you know what? It was a good line of thinking.
I think she knew she was going to die. But, like, if she kills Greta, the spell cannot be broken tonight. Elena will not be killed that evening. because Klaus can't kill Elena out of anger. He needs her. So if the spell can't happen, Elena will be spared at least another month. So bless Jenna. She goes for it.
And then she gets sort of stabbed, but not fatally. Mm-hmm. And I think this is really sad, where Elena's telling her, just turn it off. You won't be scared if you turn off your emotions.
It's honestly really powerful moment. Elena, this whole episode is so... They always say she's compassionate, and they very rarely show us. She is so compassionate in this episode. She stays so calm. She's talking Jenna through everything, through every change she's feeling, through every heightened emotion. She's consoling Jenna. She's apologizing all the time. And right at the end, she's protecting Jenna, and she's telling her, turn it off. So you don't feel fear right at the end. It's these past few episodes for Elena have been amazing.
Yeah.
I love her now. Well, I always liked her, but I go up and down.
I feel like in previous episodes, and she annoys me too much, but she can be a bit annoying. And just as a character with an arc, it's been a little bit boring or dull at times. This has just been, as you said, kind of a beautiful few episodes for her character. And I think you really just understand her a lot more.
I forgot how amazing the end of season two is for Elena. I had no idea. I don't think I'd ever like thought about it. I had no idea, but she is such a strong character, such an interesting character. Nina does absolutely some of her best work in the past few episodes. She's incredible, and she's a really likable lead. And you know, I get she is in this moment. She is the heart and soul of the show. She really is. She really, really is. And yeah, this moment with Jenna is just part of that. And then after Klaus kills Jenna, he has turned to Elena. And they're really sad. Well, not really. There's many sad parts about it. But Stefan is there awake, and he has to watch it all. And what I, again, really like about Elena is she's really dignified in this. She has that quiet dignity and that quiet defiance towards Klaus.
Definitely. She sort of takes it. She doesn't say anything.
He offers her a hand. She doesn't take it.
He says, thank you. She says, go to hell.
Yeah. Great last words. Great last words if you're about to be killed. Love that for her. And the moment where Klaus, because he has to drain. This is what I was talking about. There's three different ways that he kills these women. He rips out a heart. He stabs Jenna in the heart with a stake. And then he has to drain Elena of her blood. And it is a long moment.
And it's also graphic, like when he pulls away, you can just see his mouth just pouring with blood. Like, it's very graphic again. I think they really want you to kind of feel the pain.
Well, it's a huge, and it probably hasn't felt dramatic to me since I first watched it, bar this rewatch, because we're talking about it, and you are paying attention more like naturally. But think about it, like our lead character, we know things are going on to save her, but our lead character dies. Elena is killed. There is kind of like no way around that. So it is a huge moment in the show, and you just kind of see her body like crumple to the ground. Who would have thought we'd be here? Season one, episode one, pilot.
God, so much has happened.
When Elena and Bonnie are in a little car accident. Who would have thought this is where we'd end up? She's dead.
She's dead. And as Elena crumples to the floor, he kind of walks off and starts his transition. He being Klaus, walks off and starts his transition into a werewolf. And Bonnie sort of comes in. And this is also an incredibly powerful moment. You see kind of the might and ferocity of Bonnie and Klaus being genuinely outwitted and surprised because he thought she was dead.
Yeah, it's a great moment. Like, there's a few things I want to mention. First of all, I think Joseph Morgan because he starts to transform. I think he does brilliant physical acting in this moment when he's on the ground and in pain. Again, I think he's doing some really good work. I think it's hard to do that, and I think he does it well. Bonnie's arrival feels amazing, and it feels fucking deserved in the show. This plan that they had was a really good plan. Bonnie feels really powerful. If we talk about like arcs, Bonnie has gone from this like little teen witch that makes feathers float to literally stopping the most powerful being in the world, making him afraid of her. And the show treats it like a big moment.
Yeah.
And it treats it like, fuck yeah, look at Bonnie Bennett.
Definitely. Definitely. So Bonnie sort of gets Klaus to the state where he's very fragile. And Elijah comes in, Hello, brother. The classic.
I liked it because they have kind of like had the parallels between the Salvatore brothers and the original brothers. And I like reinforcing that. And I think, again, and then I think this is why I don't think the earlier bit was needed, because we as an audience know, despite everything, we've seen it multiple times, Stefan and Damon cannot kill each other. So you didn't need the scene earlier. You have the Hello Brother. We as an audience are reminded of Stefan and Damon's relationship, where despite everything, they will not kill each other. So of course, Elijah isn't going to do it. So we don't
made it a lot more dramatic, but also it would have left a lot more intrigue if the script had stayed the same without that previous scene. And you go, wait, what? There's more original. Like, that would have been quite a powerful moment of...
You killed my family. No. If you want to see them again, they're still alive. It just the previous scene just wasn't needed. The writers sometimes think we're really, really, really dumb. But yeah, Elijah chooses not to kill Klaus, and Bonnie is like, I will take you both down. Don't you do this, I will fuck you up.
But she can't, because they whoosh.
They
whoosh away.
I'm sorry, if she's powerful enough to stop them both, she can stop them whooshing.
You think?
Yeah. Surely. But no, they whoosh beyond a fire. But if you could whoosh through the fire, couldn't Jenna just whoosh out the fire? I guess she's a new vampire.
I think there was magic around those flames.
Okay.
Yeah, okay. I think it wasn't just a
standard fire. That makes more sense.
Because otherwise, Jenna could definitely have walked out past it. I'm pretty sure Jules could have leaped over it.
Oh, yeah. Elena, though, she would have been stuck in that fire.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it was all for nothing.
All for nothing.
They had been planning for months how to stop Klaus, how to stop the sacrifice, how can they minimize the number of people that had to die. They didn't. They failed. At this point, we know Jenna died.
Yeah.
And Klaus lives.
Exactly. For nothing. And also there's kind of actually quite a touching scene between Jeremy and John, where they found out that John's able to do this resurrection, to be the kind of participant in the resurrection spell. And John and Jeremy realizes that, you know, he says, John, have you read this? That the spell that was used for a mother and child, when the mother used it to save the child, the mother died. So we kind of know John is going to die.
She found peace. This is when I started to get emotional. And I want to be clear, there is a note I wrote pre-me getting emotional, which is when, because we didn't mention it, but it's not really relevant, Alaric and Jeremy aren't allowed to leave. They're not allowed to go to the sacrifice. Jeremy gets roofied and Alaric gets trapped in the house.
Good.
Yeah, no, I think they were right. I didn't think they needed to roofie him. They could trap both of them in the house. That is what I will say. But it's Alaric, John, and Jeremy left. And I wrote, look at this trio of dickheads. And then I started to get emotional.
I love that you read. That was almost like your final words of sanity. And then down you go.
And then they started talking about finding peace. And I got emotional.
I think it's also because you could kind of see John having a character arc, and you know, I'm not going to say I like the man, but it's very sad.
I think John's a really interesting character. I think he's really, really interesting. He's different to a lot of the other. Most of the villains are these charismatic, chatty people. He's quite stoic. He's quite reserved. He's very, very rigid in his thoughts. But he also clearly, and I think it's never for a doubt, that he loves Elena.
Yeah.
So I think he is an interesting character, and he has very, very different motivations to our other characters.
I think also, and it's what you get when he made amends with Elena last, or Barry Hatchett with Elena last time, is I think it's the first, that was the first point he ever questioned his beliefs.
Mm-hmm.
And not to the extent he's suddenly going to go, oh yeah, they're love vampires, great. But I think he's just been so solid and found in his beliefs, they're kind of what he lives by, that Elena has kind of called it all into question.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know. I think you're completely right. He gets a really beautiful death scene. Elena, I'm actually going to get emotional. I can't. I'm so fragile. Damon brings Elena back. They're all looking at Elena, and John is like alone. And walks outside, and he's alone. And Elena takes a breath, and then he just gets this look on his face, and it's like he found peace, and then dies as Elena lives. And it's just, it's a really good moment. I start crying here for reference. This is when I started crying. Wait,
this feels like.
And it just felt, I don't know, they did this really, really well. And this was very unexpected. Obviously, I've seen the show before, but it was an unexpected death. Who would have thought that would be how the writers would get out of this situation with Elena turning? Is we kind of haven't mentioned why. John finds a way to sacrifice his life so Elena can live without turning into a vampire. And that's what he wants. And that means Elena has lost both Jenna and John.
In one night.
And they're kind of heading to their funeral. What I found very odd is Damon says he compelled some gravediggers. So does that mean Jenna's not officially dead?
What do you mean?
So clearly there's like a beat after, you know, the sacrifice has happened and it's the day of the funeral. And Damon and Stefan are having a conversation and Damon's like, there's lots of space at the Gilbert lot. At the family lot, I compelled some gravediggers to dig the graves of Jenna and John. So if they were officially dead, above board, why would you need to compel the gravediggers?
Because I think Jenna looks like a, what do you have it vampire. When the vampires die?
The grey skinny. Yeah. But
desiccated.
But Vicky was fine.
I guess because she'd been there for such a long time and she decomposed
okay,
a bit.
Okay, so they thought that's fine.
I'd make a guess, but I also think he maybe meant he didn't have to pay them. I don't know, something silly like that.
He's just skipping on a bill. I took it as they weren't officially dead and like this funeral was like, because surely if it was Jenna's funeral, the town would come. And they don't mention a cover story of like how they tell the people that Jenna died.
Interesting.
Is Jenna officially dead?
I think she is officially dead. I think he's literally just taking, because he was like to do the dirty work rather than I compel grave diggers because I need to compel them.
I took it as to dig the graves because no one knows that they're dead.
I don't really. I think it's just like to do more than they would normally do or something.
I believe you. But I just thought it was odd.
No, I also thought it was a very insensitive comment.
Well, the bit where he's like, there's lots of space at the Gilbert family plot.
Yeah.
I was like, there's not that much space. Or because even just they're
to
all
do
dead.
The dirty work. Yeah. Like, you'd be like, I compelled the grave diggers to like put them.
That's why. There's another reason I thought it was like illicit behaviour. Dirty work. Like, it's off the books.
I'm not really sure. I'm pretty sure they're known as dead.
No.
But maybe, I don't know.
I don't know either. I really don't. I guess
we'll find out next episode or season. But yeah, I also thought it was odd, but I read slightly differently into it.
Sorry, I detracted a really heartfelt moment. Because then I was already crying.
Yeah.
But then the big thing happens.
Oh my gosh. So Jeremy and Elena, so they're getting ready for the funeral. And they really feel like siblings here, I thought. Mm. It was a good, really good scene between the two of them.
Mm-hmm.
But Jeremy gives Elena a letter from John and a ring.
Yeah, Elena like apologizes and Jeremy says, really honestly, I still have you. It's a beautiful moment between them. And then he gives her this letter, which I don't know how much it affected Elena, but it broke me into
It really got me. The letter was
Did you
beautiful.
Cry? No.
I got teary.
If Ellie was here, she would cry with me.
I got teary, which is very close for me.
I know it is. But I would have had solidarity from Ellie because I was actually in pieces. It's a beautiful letter. It's the writing of this letter is amazing. They have the actor whose name I can't remember, sorry, reading it out, and he does a brilliant voiceover. Some lines I want to mention. I am haunted. I am haunted by how things might have played out differently. So he's full of regret of how he has behaved. See, this is what I mean. This is a man who feels remorse and regret. Ignore Jules. I did it all for Tyler. This is what it's like. And then when he says, no matter tomorrow, if you wake up, Alice, I will cry.
Especially because kind of earlier in the episode, he's doing everything he can to save Elena and prevent her from becoming a vampire. So you kind of think, oh, is it the same John? He'd hate her to become a vampire.
Mm-hmm.
But yes, okay, it's not the life he wanted for her,
mm-hmm.
but we'll love for all the same. Oh,
no, no matter tomorrow, if you wake up as human or vampire, I will love you just the same.
Yeah.
It's shown that, as you were saying earlier, Elena shook his beliefs that he held so firmly and were most important to him to his core because he loves her so much. It does not matter if she was a vampire, and previously he said vampires don't have a soul, but clearly he doesn't believe that because he would love Elena just the same, and he is willing to, and that's even more makes his sacrifice even more beautiful, is he's dying to give Elena a choice.
yeah,
to give her a choice of what she wants. Because if he thinks she's the same, that he's a vampire, yeah, he can feel bad for her, but what is he saving then? He's saving to allow her to live the life that she wants.
Yeah.
Crying.
Oh, it's beautiful.
And it's, the funeral is so sad, like Elena's there with four roses.
It's so, it's all four of her pet, like, it's,
yeah, it is. She puts so she sad. Puts one on Jenna's grave, one on John's, and then one on both of her parents' graves. Gone. This is so sad. I like really wasn't prepared to watch it today.
I just think the music as well for the funeral, like, oh, it's just, it was,
we're just saying it's sad, but it is, guys. I cried so much. I don't know how we ever move on from this. This is the saddest episode of the show.
It's so sad. And I think what's awful as well is, and kind of you get to the end of the episode and they've lost so many people, and then Damon and Stefan are having a talk, and Stefan learns about Damon's werewolf bite, so you know they're going to lose
Damon too.
As well.
And then Stefan is rattled to his core, and he says he's going to find a way. You know, they faced impossible odds before, and they still managed to do this. And he says at one point, "I will do this." And he needs Damon to not die.
Yeah,
it's
after
awful.
Everything that's happened. Mm-hmm. And then you see Damon sort of walk off through the graveyard.
He says, "Keep this from Elena," which I was like, "Fuck off."
Yeah,
like, don't keep this from Elena.
No. Like, as always, Damon makes poor choices.
Yeah,
I think he believes he's doing the right thing at this time.
Yeah,
but
he's not.
No,
I can't believe this isn't the series finale.
Yeah, yeah,
it's
one more to go.
Crazy.
It's interesting that they do that, because I think they did it in season one as well.
No, definitely no. Not. Season one and the season finale was the big event. John tries to kill our villain in the season one finale.
Oh,
was John, who
who
now by season two finale has broken my heart. He was the villain 20 episodes ago.
What an arc.
It was the Founder's Day, so it was the big thing was they took all the vampires, the tomb vampires down, and all the tomb vampires were going to attack the town, and then Catherine returned right at the end. So there was a little bit of setting up for the next season.
You were right. But this time they've done the big event, and they've given us one more episode.
We may have said this. I can't remember if we said this offline or on the pod, but it's very Game of Thrones. Like, the Battle of Blackwater happens episode 9, the Battle of the Bastards happened episode 9, Ned's, let me spoil Game of Thrones.
I think it's been out long enough that
Ned's
at
death.
This point.
Ned's death happens episode 9, and then there's always an episode after. So it's always like shit hits the fan, and then there's an episode after to like deal it up and set for season, the next season, which is the same here. Yeah. But it does feel like this is the moment.
Yeah.
And you can already kind of see where the threads are for season 3. Like, partly because it's interesting that they failed to kill Klaus, but also, that's a good character. We're maybe going to keep him around.
You know that there's siblings.
Damon says they need to find a way to kill Klaus, so it's not over between them.
You know that Stefan is like in Klaus's sort of clutches. And we don't know what's happening with Damon.
Yeah.
So there's quite a lot. You know, they could end it here.
Bar Damon. I think because they've got Damon on a ticking clock, they can't end it here.
Well, they could, because I think season one, they picked up literally where they left off with season two. So it doesn't have to be that time has passed.
Yeah. A werewolf bite feels different, though. It feels like that has to be resolved or he has to die. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I get you. They could pick it up, but I don't know. I don't think it's as interesting as Catherine's back.
Yeah.
And her stabbed John. And I was like, I hope she kills him. How wrong?
Glad she didn't now.
I don't know. I would have been spared some emotional moments. There was something you wanted to say about the whole episode.
Oh, crikey.
Oh, I knew you were going to forget this. I knew this, but you said you'd come back to it.
Damn it.
Were we talking about the sacrifice?
Flip.
Oh, Alice.
Damn it. I've forgotten.
It's okay. Any overall thoughts?
Where is it?
Where is it?
I've forgotten the thought that I did have.
Yeah, that's what we're talking about. No, a different one.
But I'm trying. Any overall thoughts? I mean, it's just such a powerful episode. I think it's a shock. I mean, as you said, kind of almost parallel with Game of Thrones, but I just don't think, as the audience, you expected so many people that weren't, you know, we did expect Elena to die. We maybe expected other people to die in the sacrifice, but I don't think we expected so many deaths to hit so close to home.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very powerful in that sense. I also think Oh, damn, I had it again. I had the thought. It's gone. Crap.
Oh, Alice. I want to say I'm glad we talked about the Matt and Caroline stuff first. Sorry if it wasn't a very fun start to the episode, but it allowed us to talk freely about a very good bit of the show. I'm going to move on, unless you remember it now. Is that possible?
No.
Okay.
It might be possible in a minute. Okay. We'll see what happens.
Right. Stats. So, what are we adding this week?
A lot of deaths. Jenna dies again.
Well, that's not how we do this. But yes, we're keeping track of who kills her.
Sorry. Yes, that's a good point. Klaus gets a few deaths assigned to him.
Yeah.
So he gets 3 deaths.
Mm-hmm. So
he kills Jules, he kills Jenna, and he kills Elena.
Yes, it's 3 goddesses.
It's 3 goddesses.
So that takes him to 10.
Yeah. We get Damon has a kill.
Damon does have a kill.
He kills Greta.
That also takes him to 10.
Interesting.
Twinning.
We have another death, but I don't know how we'd say he killed himself.
This is the big thing. Okay, I'm going to give you the options of who we can assign this death to.
Yeah.
So we can say John, as he planned to kill himself. We can say Bonnie, as she did the spell. Or we can say Klaus, because what caused him to die was Klaus killing Elena.
I think it's Klaus.
I think it's Klaus too.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Let's give him to Klaus.
Okay, good. Okay, one more to Klaus then. Baby's clearing up with 11. I just want to say one of the deaths was a heart grab as well.
Yep.
Which takes us on to 9 this season. Not hit double digits. Thought we might do.
Oh my gosh. Thought we no might. Double digits.
Unless we get one next week, which I don't think we do, but who knows. What episode of the show was this? 21.
22? 21.
Okay,
I'm wrong.
I just ignored you. And one more thing. Do you know what our last one is?
Our last stat.
Yep.
But deaths, relationships, and resurrections. Who else? Elena gets resurrected.
Elena gets resurrected. Yeah, perfect, because she dies. So Elena gets resurrected. Give me 2 seconds and I'll give us some overall things of note. How many deaths did we have this episode? 4. Okay. So what this means, total deaths, 61. So we are more deaths than season 1. Officially, this is a more murderous season, also more heart grabs this season. Klaus now hops up several places on the kill chart with 11, but he is still behind our leader for season 2, which is Stefan with 12. I don't remember who he killed.
Oh god, who is Stefan?
We had a Ripper flashback. That probably added a few. Did we have a Ripper flashback?
We did.
Yeah.
We did. Yes.
So I think that's maybe why he's so high. So our main villain is not the most murderous.
Romantic leading kind of hero good man is top of the murder list.
Yeah, he's got the hero hair. And total resurrections this season 10. So 10 different times characters have died and come back to life.
Love it.
Love that for us. On this episode, what do I have? The title, I forgot what the title was, As the Sun. The Sun Also Rose. This title comes from an Ernest Hemingway novel. Which explores the themes of love, death, and the renewal of nature. So very on theme. Sarah Cannings, who played Jenna, did not want to leave the show.
Oh no.
She desperately didn't. Julie Plec and Kevin Williamson on the interview I watched talked about it. And apparently she took it very personally. Because it's like you've been fired, but not really. It's weird because you've lost your job, but you've not done anything wrong.
Yeah.
Your role no longer. She's been made redundant.
Yeah.
So she was very, very upset to be leaving. And this is the only episode in which she did the previously on Vampire Diaries. So they let her do the last one before she went. And also, I think this is interesting. We can't say too much, but the original plan was for Elena to be turned into a vampire at the end of season 2. So that was what they originally were going with. And there wasn't going to be John saving the day. And then they wrote that in at the last minute. The best bit of the episode.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Then some things happen. You go, okay, can't say too much. But yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
It is good to know. We also had an email this week, which I have sent to you, but I will read it now. So this is from Sarah. It says,
Hi all, I just wanted to write to say I love the podcast and look forward to it every week. It's great to hear opinions looking back on the show and all this insane choices made with adult eyes. You're right, Carol Lockwood is a queen and she held that town together.
Go Carol.
Complete agreement. My question for you all is, if you could change one thing about the show, what would it be?
It's a good question.
It is a good question, right? Do you have an answer?
I don't know if it's the thing. It's just something that's come to mind. Mm. But it's when they, I think it's the kind of, it's not MacGuffins, it's the wrong word, but things that they change at will. I think they take away from the storyline. So the way that they, you know, sometimes use magic differently, sometimes use compulsion differently, sometimes use, you know, vamp speed differently.
The lax relationship they have with their own law.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's very fair. And it's one of those where it's probably actually better when you watch it, but when we have to talk about it every single week, it does drive you insane. Too much of my thoughts are spent like, oh, can magic do this? But this time it couldn't do that, and now it can suddenly do this.
Yeah. And it's probably not the one, you know, if I thought about it more, I might come with a better answer next week, but that's one that's come to mind. What would you say?
Mine is very clear and simple. The treatment of Bonnie Bennett.
That's a better one. Absolutely.
That's what I would change.
Yeah.
I would give her more storylines. I'd give her better romances. I would center her more in the story. I'd develop her relationships with other characters in the show more. I'd give Kat more to do. And I'd hire someone to do her.
Yeah. I changed my answer.
I've shamed you.
You have.
Oh, one last thing I wanted to say. It's the end of the episode. Do anything else you want to say on Vampire Diaries? She's still not remembered it, folks. She's still not got it.
Yeah.
Okay.
I guess to kind of add to the Bonnie Bennett one, if I was to say, okay, I can't have the same one, but a slightly different one. I think it's the way they kind of typecast people into certain roles. Like I think we talked about it before, but like with the Martins, with but the witch that Catherine had at like as a friend at, gosh, back in early days of season two.
Her name? Lucy.
We
love her.
You know, it feels like they are putting kind of black characters into a specific role.
That's very fair. That's a very good one. So moving on, we will be back next week. I also am on this week's episode of Still Got Legs, a Doctor Who rewatch podcast that I have been on before. Nathan from that podcast has been on our show. We are recapping the series 5 episode, The Vampires of Venice. So it's
symmetry.
It is a crossover event. If you want to hear my thoughts on vampire lore in Doctor Who, give that a listen. It will be out when this episode is out, so I will link it in the show notes below. But if you want to get in touch with the show, we had a lovely email, our first email, honored by it. If you also want to send one in, how can they do that?
You can email us at missingmysticfoolspod@gmail.com.
We'd love to hear your thoughts on season 2 in general. We're going to do a little bit of an overview of season 2, not quite working out the details because we're going to get Elle's thoughts on it too. But that will be coming up. So if you want to send us any of your thoughts about the season as a whole, your favourite characters, your favourite hair, your favourite outfit, anything, send them over and we will read them out on the show. Or...
You can also contact us on Instagram at missingmysticfools.
Pod.
Yep. Or Twitter at missmysticpod. You can also find us on TikTok.
I need to put some more up, but yes.
Mysticpod. Yep. Same as our Twitter.
Yep. And you can go into your podcast app of choice and give us 5 stars.
Would be greatly appreciated.
We'd love that too.
Otherwise, yeah, I mean, you don't have to contact us, but you're very welcome. But I think that's all our means of communication.
No, it's mandatory. We'll be back next week. New episodes every single Wednesday.
Season finale.
The season finale, folks. I actually don't know what's going to happen. I feel like what could happen. There's a few things that I know happen next week, but I don't know how it's enough to fill an episode.
Yeah, I'm the same as you. Yeah.
We'll find out together.
Find out.
Bye.
Bye.